Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Ann Nelson, your host for the show. We are all living a lot longer. Did you know that the 90s is the fastest growing age group? Someone in America is turning 60 every 8 seconds. What does this mean? Well, we could be spending 30 years or more in retirement. So how's your money plans going? Will you have enough to last that long? Or will you run out and have to survive on the government pension? Today, my guest is Becky Kika, all the way from the USA. Becky is retired from a 20-year career as a partner in a commercial architectural firm and knows what it actually is like to close the door on a career. We all are spending a lot longer in retirement, 30 years plus, and not all of us have provided for adequately to survive and thrive for that long. Could you survive on a pension? Becky has some real life experience about what forced her and her husband to look at their circumstances and what the future may have in store for them. Welcome to the show, Becky.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be with everyone.
Great to talk to you. What was that moment? What happened in your life that forced you and your husband to take stock and maybe look at your finances a bit more carefully?
When we were in our very early 30s, my husband and I were working quite a bit. He was working two jobs and I was working full time. And we were still living from paycheck to paycheck, and we just didn't know anything about money. And in essence, we didn't know what we didn't know. And then what happened to us was my grandmother, my father's mother, had to move in with us because she had run out of money. And the interesting thing about that fact was my grandmother and grandfather always lived better than the rest of us because my grandfather owned a business in the St. Louis area in the United States. And they had a beautiful place across from Forest Park Boulevard. My grandmother was an exceptionally gorgeous woman, only 5 foot tall. She had white blonde hair, cornflower blue eyes, a spitfire personality, and her name actually was Goldie. And I absolutely adored her, and so did my grandfather. And he gave her everything in the world that she could possibly want. New fur coats, she had three of them in a cedar-lined closet. A new Cadillac every 3 years, she got it. She had a jewelry chest that was absolutely the envy of all of her friends. They lived a very lavish lifestyle. But when my grandfather became ill at the age of 55 and subsequently died at 57, something happened that shocked the whole family. They had absolutely no savings whatsoever. The only saving grace for my grandmother at the time was because my grandfather was in the insurance business, he left her a $100,000 life insurance policy. Well, that was back in the 50s, and $100,000 is certainly nothing to sneeze at today, but back then, it was absolutely a fortune. But again, none of us knew anything about money, including my grandmother. All she knew is how to spend it, and so she did what everybody did back then. She took it and put it into a passbook savings account, and she continued to spend in the same lavish lifestyle that my grandfather had provided for her. Well, by the time she was 63 years old, she had pretty much run out of the $100,000, had to get a job. And by the time she was 77, she was so ill she couldn't work anymore. and we had her move in with us, and it changed how we thought about money forever. Because how could somebody that lives such a lavish lifestyle run out of money? My husband at that time started going to night school to learn everything he could about investing, about Social Security and Medicare, which led him to be the investment advisor that he is today. But again, it changed every thought process that we had about how to use and how to spend money. So we started out savings. $25 a month became $25 a week. And as we progressed in our careers, the more money we made, the more that we put away. Billionaire Mark Cuban often says, go for the green and not the dream. And that translates to us. If you make more money, you can always find things to buy. You can always find that laptop you need or that new iPhone or, of course, the Lamborghini you've always wanted to put into your garage. But learning to live on less is so important because how you spend money before you retire translates directly to how you spend money after you retire. So putting good processes in place early becomes the benchmark for how you live after you retire. One of the things that I learned along the way is that there are so many things in life that you cannot control, but your money is one of them. No matter how much money you make or how much money you have, what you do with that money is the ultimate control that you have. So we always lived beneath our income, putting as much money away as we could so that when we retired, we could feel comfortable and we did not have to worry about where our next dollar was coming from. I guess at the time, it took us quite a while to get into the habit of putting money away. But what I learned along the way also is that when you're employed, no matter what you do for a living, usually you work within some kind of a budget. You have a strategic plan. You have a facility plan. You have a financial plan. You have all kinds of plans. And so why shouldn't your own life deserve the same consideration as your plans do? I learned that money is just a tool and you really should not attach a lot of emotion to it. Now, the caveat to that is my husband and I spent many years screaming at each other about money or how to invest money. But once you become comfortable with money and how to invest it and how to put it away and secure it, it makes your life so much better. And that is what I have done as I have gone along around the United States giving presentations about my book, is talking about how to put this together. Two of the most important things that we did was, number one, we had a budget that started out as a monthly budget, graduated into a yearly budget. And then also what we did, because my husband was an investment advisor, was put together what investment advisors call yearly projection sheets. And these project out for as many years as you want them to. Some of them go all the way to 100. In other words, let's say you saved $500,000 in your retirement. Projecting it out can tell you that it will last till you're 84. It will last till you're 100 or whatever. But both of these sheets gave us the security to really live our lives the way that we wanted to and to always know where we stood. To give you another example, about 7 years before I decided to retire and draw the line in the sand, we started talking about where did we want to live after we retired? Did we want to live in the St. Louis area where we were living at the time? Or did we want to buy a home someplace else where it was warmer and didn't have the cold Midwest winters and become snowbirds? Or did we want to sell our place and actually go live someplace else permanently, which is what we ended up in Tucson, Arizona. But when we started looking around, we went to all kinds of different cities and states. We started out in Florida because here in the United States, that's where all the old people go to retire. I think that is kind of the law. But we didn't like Florida, and we went on to six other states before we ended up in San Francisco on the Bay, which is where I grew up. And we found this house right on the Bay that I absolutely fell in love with. I could not live without. We spent all day with a real estate agent going through the house and all the repairs that it needed. And that night when we went back to the hotel, out came my laminated spreadsheets that I carried with me all the time, the budgets and the long-term financial projections. And guess what? We could no more afford that place than the man in the moon. But that's what good financial planning does for you. It helps you keep things in perspective and not make stupid mistakes with your money.
Because you can't live off your house, can you?
No, you can't. And, you know, I think the other thing that's really interesting that I learned is that when you start your retirement, looking at your retirement plan really early, the financial part of it, what you don't realize until you get a little bit older is that your financial plan becomes the ultimate income stream that you have when you retire, because it's so upsetting. You know, I'll never forget after I retired and moved to Tucson and my paycheck stopped, I absolutely almost had a heart attack over that because I didn't have that income coming in anymore. And what I realized is that the next bill that I had to pay, which happened to be the utility bill, was coming out of my retirement savings. So creating that income stream for yourself early and really understanding that is paramount to actually having the life that you want to live after you retire. Because, you know, there's so many things in the future that, that you don't know, the variables. Like, for instance, a month ago, my husband had to have two root canals that totaled over $4,000. Now, if you don't have good planning and you don't have money put away and you don't have discretionary money in a savings account, you're not going to have the $4,000 that it cost to have the two root canals. So again, it's just part of the great retirement planning that you need to do. And once you get in the mode, it's actually fun to watch your money grow and to build.
Sounds like very wise advice. And you've been through a lot of experiences. Your husband's still working, I believe.
He is still working. And that's been interesting for us. If you want me to talk a bit about the emotional side of retirement, that's something else that I had not been prepared for. Mm-hmm. And it's been a big focus with a lot of the groups that I've gone around the country talking about, because, you know, when you're in a career all your life, again, no matter what you do for a living, I happen to be a partner in an architectural firm, but it's kind of irrelevant to the after effect, is that when you close that door, when you retire, everything you were, everything you did, and everything you accomplished seems to disappear once that door is shut, because society often views aging as somehow that we failed and not that we've accomplished something. So, you know, I would go around and I'd say to my husband, I don't like being retired. I don't like that society doesn't think I have anything to offer. How could I be a partner in an architectural firm running a $25 million a year company one day and be part of the retired pack of old people, as everybody viewed me, the next day? And he would say to me, well, just think of who you were and what you did and what you accomplished. And that word were just absolutely drove me crazy, because I kept looking in the mirror and thinking, well, I must be a completely different person. And all I saw was more wrinkles. I didn't see anything else along the way that made me any different. Because we would go to cocktail parties and lunches and receptions. And immediately after I retired, I would happily go up to somebody and they'd say, what do you do, Becky? And I'd say, well, I'm newly retired and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And they would pat me on the shoulder and they would move on to look for somebody more relevant. So it took me a long time for me to realize that who we were and what we accomplished was part of our intrinsic value as we saw each other as an individual. Because people that had positions of power and influence after they retire, it's not about your bucket list. It's about finding yourself again as a whole person. As we know, us women in particular, I think have it harder a lot of times than men, because women take care of everybody. When I was working full time and I still had kids at home, you know, family comes first. Absolutely. My work came second. My employees came third. My clients were at the top of my list because if I didn't take care of them, I didn't have a job. So after I retired, there was nobody to take care of anymore. And there I was left trying to find my whole new identity. And as silly as it sounds, I became a lesser person than I thought that I had been in the past, which in reality is pretty silly. But I had found as I've traveled around the United States that this is absolutely the one of the best kept secrets with men and women today is the loss of value after you retire. You need to really establish a whole new person as you step out of that retirement door. And it's not the bucket list. It's not that I, you know, want to go join a gym or I want to go climb Mount Everest or whatever. It's finding yourself all over again. And one of the things that happened to my husband and myself as a married couple is that we discovered a lot of differences between what we both wanted out of life. Because, you know, when you retire and my husband still spends a lot of time here, although he goes back and forth to his office in Illinois right now. When you're sitting in your two leather recliner chairs that vibrate in your family room, looking at each other like strangers in a stranglehold over the remote, it's pretty upsetting because most of the guys, they just want the remote to hold on to because they don't care what's on TV. They just care what else is on TV.
Yeah, they say that men take their roots back to the cavemen and they're used to sitting and staring at the fire.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. So, you know, when I moved to Tucson, I just became this entirely different person. I decided that, for instance, I should, because I had the time and my husband was still working, I should start doing gourmet dinners for him by candlelight when he was home. And then I decided that because I had the time, that I should start cleaning the house. Well, I didn't like cleaning the house when I was still working. In fact, I had a housekeeper for the last 25 years of my work life, or the house would have never been cleaned. And I should have remembered what Phyllis Diller said, the comedian, housework can't kill you, but why take the chance? So now, today, when I get all upset about housework, I flip on an episode of The Hoarders, and I watch that for 30 minutes, and I don't feel too bad about how the house looks. But, you know, I would start doing everything that I could for my husband to impress him. When he was here, I'd make him coffee in the morning. I'd go out and get the newspaper. I'd make him breakfast and I'd start cleaning up the kitchen. And then all of a sudden he was whipping into the kitchen again, asking what was for lunch and to hurry up because he had a 1:30 tea time. And it seemed like I was forever doing grocery shopping. All of these gourmet meals were now no longer fun. They became tedious and became a chore. So even though, again, it sounds absolutely ridiculous, finding that balance between the two of you makes such a difference on how you live your retired life. And I've had so many people that have told me, especially the women, I don't think I could spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with my husband anymore, because you know you are different people than when you were married, whatever, how many years ago. And whether you're married or you have a significant other, it is exactly the same thing. I had this wonderful new friend that I met when I moved to Tucson, and she was a judge, and her husband was a very powerful political attorney that went back and forth to Washington, D.C., and they both decided to retire at the same time. And she was so excited because they'd been together for 30 years and they'd spend very little time together building their careers. And so when they retired on the same day, the same week, and were going to have a very happy retired life. Well, 3 months later, she called me in a whole different voice and she said, "Becky, we need to go to lunch." I went to lunch with her and she said, "I don't know what I am going to do." She said, "We are together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and Steve follows me around the house constantly. He talks all the time. He's in the kitchen telling me how to cook when he's never cooked anything a day in his life. He stands by the computer. and asks me what I'm doing. And if he doesn't think I'm doing it right, he tells me that as well. She said, I just want him to go away and shut up, because she had had a whole life of quiet and recognition and respect as a judge. And here she was with her husband 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we might be prepared for a lot of things when we retire. We can even be prepared financially, but the talk that we need to have with our spouses or significant others is so critical to the happiness in our retirement. Because even though I am retired and my husband isn't, you know, before I retired, if I wanted to go out and buy something, I did it because I knew that I had money coming in to do it. And now when my husband goes out and spends $300 on golf equipment, I get really angry because that's not in our budget, but it's in his budget because he's still working. So everything has to be a trade-off as you put together your life. I even got so desperate, I went back to read Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. So anybody that hasn't read that out there should do it.
There's also another book out. It's to do with being married, for better or worse, but not for lunch.
Yeah, that's exactly kind of how we ended up. And, you know, AARP magazine back in February of last year, I believe, actually put out this article that they said that after you retire as a couple, there actually is a honeymoon period between the couples. And I can assure you it's nothing like your first honeymoon period. It's different. But basically what it is learning all over again how to live with each other and what your expectations for your retirement will be.
Yeah, it's amazing that you're talking about professional couples too, that they have had such big careers but have spent little time into any thought or planning into what they're going to do with all this spare time that they have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that finding the emotional balance between the two of you is just something that is not ever talked about. And to be honest with you, I never had thought about it until after we retired. Because, you know, we women, we still live with the fantasy of the happily ever after. And I don't mean to say that there is not a happily ever after, but when you retire, you are two different people. You're not the people that got married 25 years before or 30 years before. And my husband and I were high school sweethearts. So in essence, I thought in particular that nothing like that would happen, that we would be very connected and very joined. But we should have really had a talk about that kind of emotional balance. You know, I went back to being a housewife, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with being a housewife. It's keeping what you want to do in perspective. I felt guilty because I didn't have as much to do as I did when I was working. When I was working, I was traveling all over the world. We had an office in Shenzhen, China, and I traveled there all the time. And it was just like putting the brakes on a car. Everything stopped after I retired. And the recognition and the validation I got from working just wasn't there. And even though I know in his heart my husband appreciated all the things that I was doing for him, he didn't really articulate it that way because he's an old world guy and that's not how he articulates things. He just kind of took it for granted. And so I got resentful. And hiding in my pajamas became a whole new thing for me when he was away. I would keep my pajamas on all day long. And I would read books because I had not had any time to read before I retired. I normally read, you know, the Wall Street Journal, the local newspaper and architectural publications. And so I discovered, for all the women out there, Danielle Steele novels, which are so fun to read and they all have a happy ending. So I thought that was great. And then I discovered another thing that I didn't ever have time before. It was watching television. I discovered Netflix. So I would lay in bed for hours listening to old movies with tears running down my cheeks. And then the pièce de résistance, I don't know if you have this in Australia or not, but I discovered overstock.com. Do you know there are so many things out there that you never knew you absolutely had to have that are on overstock.com? So the UPS driver and I became close friends and still trade Christmas cards as we speak today.
I'd never heard of that one.
But, you know, there came a point in my life where, in fact, it was funny. The UPS driver kind of got me out of my pajamas. He came to the door one day and I opened the door and he kind of looked me up and down and he said, "I think you'd feel better if you combed your hair." So I slammed the door in his face. I stomped into the bedroom. I looked in the mirror and my hair was sticking out all over the place. I had mustard stains on my pajamas where I'd eaten a hot dog the day before. And I just looked a mess. And so I decided, "Becky, it's time for you to man up." So I pulled up my Spanx and I decided that I was going to be the better person and take the higher road and decided to change my life. And I did, because there are so many things, again, that you can be unhappy about if you want to. But I decided that I was going to find my niche. And that's what I did, was write the book to inform other people, men and women around the world, that there are all kinds of things that can get in your way after you retire, financially and emotionally.
That's very good. So what's your life like now, Becky?
Well, my life right now is, I've just been so blessed since I wrote the book. As I said, I've traveled all over and given presentations, and I've been very fortunate to do presentations like I'm doing now with you in your group, and I'm absolutely honored to do that. And my husband and I have worked out a system. For instance, one of the things that we do that I think you'll all get a kick out of is that we have two date nights a week when he's home. One date night he gets to pick and the other one I get to pick. Well, last week's date night with my husband was, we went to Home Depot and we picked out a Comfort Height toilet, and then we went to Denny's for dinner. So that was the highlight of his week. So everything we've learned is just a trade-off. In fact, one of the things I have to share with you that's kind of funny is, for years, my husband would buy me T-shirts with sayings on them that he thought were hysterical. And one of them, when I turned 50, said that, "Warning, I have an attitude and I know how to use it." And back then, I did have an attitude and I did know how to use it. But when I turned 70, he bought me this other T-shirt that said, "I'm out of estrogen and I have a gun." So for all the women out there, you know, after you turn 70, that estrogen ship sailed a long time ago. But the funny thing about it was, when I turned 70, I did get my conceal and carry permit. So now I am locked and loaded, and he has to be a lot more careful than he used to be.
That's very interesting. So how do people get in touch with you or get a copy of your book?
Well, they can email me at my email address, which is bkuecker, K-U-E-K-E-R, at gmail.com. And there is a site that I can go on called The Square, where you can put in your credit card. I don't see any of the information, and that will send you a book. My book is on sale right now for $7.95. Or you can go online at Amazon or Barnes and Noble, each one online. They have the book there that you can reach it through there as well. The book sells for $9.95 on Amazon and Barnes and Noble.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, it's been a very interesting listen to your story and your experiences. I think a lot more people will get some good advice out of listening to you today. It's really interesting that we really aren't planning for retirement, and money-wise or emotionally-wise as well.
Well, if any of your listeners would like to contact me and ask any questions, please just email me and I'm always happy to answer. I don't have all of the answers, but if you have any questions or comments, I would love to hear them, and I'm always open to new ideas. So thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. It's been just a pleasure. And again, any questions or anything you would like to ask, just don't hesitate to contact me.
Thank you. It's great to hear your story, how you can survive and thrive in retirement and find yourself. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.